who's first tonight?
Olga.
Thank you. Helps to know for muting.
We're good. All right, folks, we're live. Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, August 18th, 2020 at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall. We'd all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, folks. If the clerk could please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan? Mr. Cologne?
Present.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Present.
Ms. Negron?
Present.
Mr. Reynolds?
Present.
Dr. Van Wert?
Present.
Mr. Waldron?
Present.
For those of you joining us at home this evening, we have a new look to tonight's meeting, comparatively to previous, where you're seeing the direct GoToMeeting stream. After our Public Safety Committee meeting last week, we were having some trouble with the YouTube stream, and that problem was ongoing. So our information support staff here, JP, patched the GoToMeeting stream directly onto the YouTube feed, so you'll have the opportunity to peer into council members' lives and their homes. I'm not sure what the future of our meetings look like as far as the technology and the layout, but we're going to stay flexible, just like everyone else has over the past few months, and do our best to work through any hiccups that we get. So we'll move on with our agenda this evening. I also should note that our public comment will be the same that it has been through the phone line for the folks who have signed up, as well as anyone who wants to call it. So that'll be the same procedure that we've been doing. Seeking approval of the minutes for August 7th, 2020. If there is no comment on those, the minutes will stand approved. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have two names previously signed up. The first I'll be calling out to is Elena Fitzpatrick Sifford. And next will be Artie Caratola. After that, I will open it up to anyone who'd like to call in. So, calling out currently. Give that another shot.
Hello?
Hello, you're on with Bethlehem City Council.
Hi. Thank you for the phone call.
Hi, if you could...
My husband.
Good.
My name is Elena Sifford. I'm here with my husband.
Justin Sifford and Gary.
All right, folks, if you could state your address for the record and then proceed to give your comments to council.
Okay, our address is 530 13th Avenue, Bethlehem, 18018. And our comments are in regards to the letter that we sent to both the City Council and Mayor Donchez, calling for the removal of the Columbus Monument in Rose Garden Park during the renovations that are slated to begin at the end of this month. So we're just calling to see if the City Council has received and read our letter and what the next steps are in the process.
We did get your letter, and currently, the administration is reviewing that for their next step in the process.
Okay, so who? We're just wondering what the process is, like what the next step are. Does it need to be voted on? Is there some kind of deliberation process? If there are other community members involved, is there, could be any more transparency about the plan for the response to our letter? As you can see, it has over 100 signatures at this point.
I don't have an answer to that, what the process will be and look like. It's kind of in the hands of the administration now as they handle the day-to-day logistics of what's happening in the city. If they ask us to host a meeting, I'd be happy to do that or have a conversation. But typically, under courtesy of the floor, which we're doing right now, it's an opportunity for members of the public to make comments to council as opposed to having a dialogue at this point.
Okay, well, I guess then our comments will be to follow up that we are still waiting to hear from a response to our letter from the council.
I can't speak for all of council, but I did get your email and I did reply to that, and that was my opinion that I responded to you, but I can't speak for the rest of the council or the administration what their opinions are. But I do know that your letter was received by all of council and the mayor.
When you say the administration, is that which department specifically should we follow up with?
I would reach out to the mayor's office.
Mayor's office specifically. Okay. We also were told to reach out to a Ms. Martinelli. Was it or some? Anyway, there's. Okay, well, we will follow up at the mayor's office and see if we can get them to call another meeting to the council in regards to this.
Thank you. Do you have any other comments for council this evening?
That's it. We look forward to hearing back from the council.
Great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Next contact is Artie Caratola.
Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Caratola. This is Bethlehem City Council.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. If you could please give your name, address for the record, and proceed with your comments to council.
Okay. It's Arthur Caratola, 813 Walter Street in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I have a situation that's it doesn't make our city look too good when our police department and other city entities may be messing up on different things and not correcting things. Our police department made zero plus zero equal over $2,500 to a woman who committed insurance fraud and abused her child as well by in the process to try to get paid. You know, on March 26th, I got a bit too close to a young woman's car as I was attempting to pull out of a tight spot that she placed me in. After I nodded and smiled at her little four-year-old boy who was looking at me from the window, I took time to warm up my vehicle. I carefully viewed the situation to be sure that I could get out of the spot without causing any damage, with plenty of time for her to have come out of her house on 426 Hay Street in Bethlehem and say, "Let me move my car back so you can get out easier." Instead, she waited until I backed up very close to her vehicle. Then she comes out of her house, waving her hands in the phone in the air, screaming, "You just hit my car! I got a picture on my phone!" I got out of my van, and I carefully looked and said, "Ma'am, close, but no cigar. I didn't hit your car. There's..." Okay. If you look, you can see that you can clearly place a piece of cardboard between your car and my van. She said, "I don't have to look. I got a picture. I'll let the cops see." So she calls the police, and I lost my place here. Okay, I'm reading all the thing. I should have been doing it, just talking from my heart like I usually do. So she calls the police, then immediately gets in her car saying, "Let me move back so you can get out." I said, "Don't move. I'm not getting in a situation where I'm going to pay for a citation for moving this from the scene of the accident. The police need to see the vehicles how they are. She moved back anyway from the point of the alleged impact of the alleged accident. When the police got there, they only had her picture to go on for the evidence. There were no marks on her car or my van by the alleged point of impact. Over an hour it took for both officers to agree to side with the woman and write it up as an accident. I complained upon the situation to deaf ears. I got a message from Captain Michelle Cott of the Bethlehem Police Department, who basically stated that the police did a just job by granting the claim an accident to the young black woman. There was no accident or any there wasn't any evidence of any kind of accident. She prefabricated a scheme that the police condoned, and it became a reality. The facts are, you have a woman who parks her vehicle approximately 1 foot behind a vehicle that had little room in front, sets up a situation to collect money from an insurance company. She abused a four-year-old child by having him perched looking out of a window for over a week to alert her when someone went into the vehicle in front of her car. I wouldn't put it past it if she had him eat breakfast, dinner, and supper, and sleep on that couch by the window and pee in a bottle for over a week without taking a bath. To me, that's child abuse. Also, her and the police ignored the little boy running around on the sidewalks of High A Street, which is well-traveled street and a snow removal route. I'm sure they have this videos on the police site. There's no way that she could have been readily by mere coincidence when my vehicle was way too close to hers so that she could snap a picture at that point of time, unless she ordered the child to be looking out the window for over a week. The child most likely said something like, "Mommy, a man's getting in the car." I'm sure that everyone who viewed those picture police videos at the scene, if they looked, saw it, that the child outside was with no mask or clothes and was touching her vehicle, my vehicle, and the ground of Hay Street. The woman never once told her child to go inside, or was it suggested by the police officers? I suggested it to the woman in front of the police officers. My suggestion was ignored by Officer Banks and Officer Reamer. It appears that the two police officers aided in child abuse by neglecting this action. Things like this don't make our police department look too good. It doesn't make our city look too good. I can't understand why the police officers didn't ask the woman, "Ma'am, why did you move your vehicle away from Mr. Curatola's van, moving it away from the scene of the accident, when you knew that we were on our way?" She purposely tampered with the evidence by eliminating it and got money for doing a wrongful deed. She knew that if she had left her vehicle where it should have been, remained at the alleged point of impact, the officers would have clearly saw that there was not enough space between her car and my van, there was plenty of space between, that she could put a piece of cardboard in between both of them. There was no accident. Unfortunately, the officers couldn't clearly see that because she took it upon herself to move her vehicle away from the scene of the accident, and yet she was awarded for her wrongful actions. You know, I'm a veteran since 1968 and didn't collect any benefits from the VA until June of 2015, although I was entitled. I paid my taxes, and this is nice, like that. I also didn't lay back smoking crack and collecting money from the government, or was I excessively drinking alcohol or smoking weed or nicotine, what I was doing was working hard to survive. Let's be respectful and stop insulting the integrity of a senior citizen who served this country's armed forces. Let us view this incident for what it is. In our country, they try to cover up this and many other things with a lot of propaganda. Let's stop covering things up and start bringing all wrongs to light so that our country can't be great again. This decision-making implication needs to be rectified and corrected with the insurance companies. It's situations like this that make you pay hundreds of dollars more each year for your car insurance. This needs to be corrected. Artie Curatola, I thank you all very much. Have a good day. God bless. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Good night. Now opening it up to anyone who'd like to make comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. Our number is 610-997-7963. If anyone would like to make comment to council on any subject not on our agenda this evening, please call in at 610-997-7963. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, Bruce Haynes, 63 West Church Street. Good evening, everybody. I want to talk about the short-term lodging discussion that took place at the last meeting. I didn't call in advance, and I know there was a point in the discussion where Darlene was asked whether the residents supported the STL that was there, and I just wanted to go on the record that we very much supported the STL and obviously disappointed that it didn't get passed at the last meeting, even though I think the majority of you actually were kind of in sync with the fact that that with Darlene's suggestion to pass the STL and do an amendment late, come back with an amendment to allow full-time residents to rent out their house for 30 days, up to 30 days, which is the same thing that's in the current housing ordinance. So I know that isn't in the STL. There was discussion about it. I'm pretty clear that it appeared that virtually everyone agreed that you did not want commercial investors buying up homes and creating essentially hotels in neighborhoods. I think I heard most of you, perhaps with the exception of Mr. Waldron, say that you did not want that, and therefore that is what this STL does. But I also heard a few of you wanting to the ability for a resident to be able to rent his house out when they go on vacation for 30 days. We have no problem with that, and I think Darlene was prepared to come back with an amendment, but the point is that we really need to get this ordinance passed pronto, and I don't know if there's any way to bring it back up again tonight for a vote, but the three items that Darlene presented at the last meeting really establish the basis to preclude commercial developers from coming into Bethlehem and buying up homes in neighborhoods. And I think Olga stated it very well at the last meeting that Bethlehem is about neighborhoods and preserving our neighborhoods, and what's going on with the commercial investors creating Airbnbs in neighborhoods means you're losing housing stock, you're losing neighbors, so therefore you're losing a neighborhood. And instead you have transient visitors coming in for 1 and 2 night stays. So it's very important that this thing get put in place to preclude additional houses from being scooped up by commercial investors, which there's another one pending right now. So I think you all know that there are 4 commercial hotels in the middle of the Market Street and on Church Street right now, and there's about to be a 5th. And if we don't pass this ordinance, it just opens the door for a 6th and a 7th, and it's not only going to be in the historic district, it's going to be in the West End, it's going to be in other neighborhoods in the city, because investors will swoop in here. And because that's what's happening in other cities, and we'll lose our neighborhoods. This is not unlike, quite frankly, commercial investors buying homes on the south side near Lehigh and turning those into commercial student housing, which again destroys neighborhoods. And so I think all of you really were pretty much, or most of you were in agreement. I know, Mr. Waldron, you want this to be the Jersey Shore. This isn't the Jersey Shore. This is neighborhoods. But I think what was discussed by Darlene is, you know, coming back for an amendment later was a good solution. and I thought it met the needs of everybody, yet somehow the deadlock at 3-3. I wish you would take an opportunity to perhaps review that again tonight and get this passed, and then come back with the amendment to deal with the, come back through the process, because the problem is if you try to amend this ordinance as it is, we're going to lose another couple of months. And it's very important that we not lose any more time. So I just implore you to, I don't know what can be done to bring it back up, but I would ask you to try and re-vote on this tonight. And that's what I called about. Secondly, I just want to reinforce that the noise issue on Main Street and the speed of cars is getting worse by the day. I did raise the issue of getting speed bumps in each block, and I know the DBA discussed that this morning and endorsed that as well. This is really ridiculous, and you know, the motorcycles going through, the cars going through, there's no way we can afford police to be there, to stand there and ticket everybody, because we don't have enough police to do that. So I think, to me, the only solution is speed bumps, and I'm quite frankly, that's going to keep the cruisers from cruising on Main Street. And so I implore you to continue to push Chief DeLuzio and the city to deal with this excessive speed and noise in our downtown. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. If anyone else would like to make comment to council this evening on a subject not being voted on, number 610. Hello, Bethlehem City Council.
Yes, hi. I was told I'm on the Connect meeting right now, and I was there to make a permit to speak to the city council.
Sure. Can you mute anything you have on in the background?
I'll lower down the volume.
Can you turn it off completely, please? Thank you. Turn off the volume. Thanks.
Mr. Wadji, yes, I couldn't hear what he said. I'm sorry.
You and everyone else, thank you, Mr. Calhoun. Sir, are you still with us? Hello? Sir, are you with us?
Hello. Yeah.
All right. If you could please state your name and address for the record to City Council and give your comments.
Yes, my name is Rogelio Ortiz. I'm a former school board director, president of the Lynchville Community Center, and I reside at 801 Arcus Street, Bethlehem, PA, 18015 at the South Side. And I'm also the president of the Lynchville Community Center. And I'm also a commissioner at the BHA Houses for over 8 years. My concern is that I just became the president of the Southside Little League this year, and we just got flooded about 3 weeks ago. And the problem that I'm having is this an ongoing situation, and I believe that the city is just wasting money every time they want to fix up the fields. I had supposed to meet Jody Evans. She works for the Parks and Recreation Department, Parks Department, and every three times, you know, I wanted her to come down there with me, but she went down there on her own, and I really wanted to give her a walkthrough. But the problem is that it's an ongoing problem, and it's just, we just can't put a band-aid on it. The whole park should be condemned. It's not up to code, and it's an ongoing problem. We got debris that comes from the creek that is on the South Side Little League, and I'm really trying to like find if we could be relocated. Because the former president Jose Gonzalez, he always took it upon himself to fix the fields. But knowing that I took over as the president of the Southside Little League, it's just that we need to be relocated. We need to be relocated for our kids in the Southside, and so us, you know, for us to be proud of the Southside Little League. There's six little leagues in the city of Bethlehem, and we're the league that doesn't really have nothing, you know, like we're like that, we get the short end of the stick, in other words. And if I'm going to be the president of the Southside Little League, I want to make sure that the city of Bethlehem is aware that we have a flood problem. There's new buildings being built, new companies across the street, right across the street from the league, the park, that, you know, industrial parks. All that water that flushes out of the drainage, it goes right into the creek. And it, like 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks ago, the water went up to about 3 feet. And it's just sad that we was in there about 4 weeks ago cleaning everything out, and now it's all flooded. They're saying that FEMA might just cut out a check or whatever. I don't feel that that's the issue. The issue is that that park should be condemned. And if y'all do have the time to go down there to see it for yourselves, I have pictures. You can contact me at 484-860-6478. And the sad part is just that our kids don't deserve this. Our kids don't deserve this. We need to be relocated. And I'm looking to see if we could be relocated at the soccer fields, which is up the hill. And there's three parks, baseball fields, that we could utilize it, because before they used to have softball tournaments there in leagues, but then they don't even bother with that park no more. And we would greatly appreciate it as a Southside people and proud that we would like to represent the Southside with a little league of our own to make sure that the kids can always play and have a good time, because right now I feel discouraged because it's been three times that I've been trying to meet the parks coordinator, and every time she went on her own by herself to go down to the park. I really wanted to show her a tour of what really needs to be done, and she's stating that we should merge with Fountain Hill. I spoke to the Fountain Hill president, and he said that he was never notified. And I don't want to be felt like we're being swept under the rug, because Southside is proud, and we want to represent the Southside with our own league. Despite that, she's telling us that the Little League is depleting throughout the city. That's not a positive sign for our people in the Southside. And I know the people that are on this committee, the city council, some of them know me, and they know me very well. I've been a person that been, me and my wife been fighting for the Southside, City of Bethlehem, for 20 years. We have our own community center. We work with Community Action. We work with all local churches. It's just that our kids deserve better, and we don't want to be displaced to go to Fountain Hill, which is a different city, which is Fountain Hill has their own police department. It's just that the fact is that we never bothered the city council or the city. Man, doctors know me. I'm on some of his committees, the Latino committee. Olga Grown knows me. Michael Cologne knows me. William Reynolds knows me from the beginning of their political careers. And I'm just begging and asking y'all that our kids deserve better. And I'm not gonna allow, you know, the city of Bethlehem to pull on deaf ears on the Southside Little League, because I'm the president now. And I'm all in it. I've been doing community service for the last 21 years, and without getting no pay, because that's who I am as a person. We're our pillars in our community, and I appreciate if y'all could just take time to just think about, you know, everything that me and my wife and the Southside have done for the city of Bethlehem. And that's why I really have to say, I don't want to speak too much, but we need to be relocated, and I don't want to hear that we have to be merging with some other little league, because out of the six little leagues in the city of Bethlehem, we always get the short end of the stick, and that's a fact. And that is just a total fact. And Jose Gonzalez, the former president, he always taking it upon himself to do the work, and it's a lot of work. I've been coaching on there for the last 15 years, and I have seen all the way. I had to cut out drywall. The concession stand is a hazard. It's full of mold. It doesn't even have a ventilation system. We're the only little league that don't even have an iron top to fry burgers or to cook hot dogs or whatever the case may be. If you will take time to go down into the Southside Little League and see it yourself, you'll be like, how could you continue running the Little League under these conditions? And it's just a shame, and I don't want to speak too much, but I just hope that you can put some attention to what's going on at the Southside Little League. We totally got flooded. And like I said, some of the people on the city council, they know me personally. This is the first time I'm ever speaking
on the behalf of the South Side.
Well, thank you for your comments, sir. I'm going to turn to the administration, and hopefully they'll reach out to you to try to have some kind of either short-term or long-term solution.
Right.
So,
what made it discouraged is that three times I've been reaching out, and three times I was supposed to meet Jody Evans at the Southside Little League, and all three times she went on her own. I know she's new at this job. This is her first year at the job. I'm not knocking her down. I know her personally from the past. She used to be a school teacher in Freedom High School. But my main concern is I don't want people to fall on deaf ears on the Southside Little League for our kids, because since March, we've been serving breakfast and lunch at the Olympic Community Center. We have school board, parent-teachers conferences. We have we have all kinds of programs that we use the center, we utilize the center to do that detention on Saturdays. So the teachers in high schools and middle schools interact with the troubled kids. And when there's ever a problem, they come to us and we use the center as a platform to make sure that the relations are good.
Understood, sir. All right. Well, we appreciate all the work that you've done for Bethlehem and for the Little League. And someone from council will follow up with you if a member of the administration does not reach out.
Ms. Evans will reach out to
you. Okay. Mr. Donches is here, and he said that Ms. Evans will follow up with you.
Okay. I really appreciate your time and your efforts. Thank you so much, and God bless. Take care and be safe. Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Mr. Ortiz, please reach out to me and I'll help you out, please.
If anyone else would like to make a comment to City Council, the number is 6101099763. Like to make comment to City Council on any subject not being voted on, as well as any ordinance or resolution on tonight's agenda, please call in. That number is 6109977963. This will be the last opportunity this evening to make comment to council on any subject. Again, our last opportunity, 6109977963. Last call for anyone wishing to make comment to council this evening. Moving on with the rest of our agenda this evening. No old business from members of City Council. To communications, communication 6A.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending a contract with Van Cleef Engineering Associates, Inc. for work related to Mincy Trail Sanitary Sewer Siphon Access Improvement. The term of the contract runs 3 months from the notice to proceed. The cost is $24,500 and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Reports, I have no reports this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. President. Administrative Order Number 23, I hereby appoint Denise Stengel, 1532 Walston Road, Bethlehem, to the Bethel Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is to fill the position held by Beverly Hoover, whose term expires April 2020. Appointment's effective through April 2023.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Administrative Order 24. I hereby appoint Stacy Elise Brennan, 5407 Locust Valley Road, Coopersburg, to the Bethel Fine Arts Commission. This appointment is to fill the unexpired term of Robert Bloom, whose term expires November 2020. This appointment is effective through November 2020.
The resolution to confirm is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0.
Thank you. Just a couple additional points, Mr. President. We did discuss this morning the issue of speed bumps. I did ask Ms. Carter and Ms. Burkhart to reach out to the DBA and the chamber to get their pulse on the issue. And I did give a directive to Michael Alcall this morning to purchase two traffic calming devices, one that would go between, let's say, Moravian Church and Market, and then a second one between Market and Broad Street. And they would be portable, probably placed in there from April through October, and then removed for the winter time. So Mr. Alco will be moving forward to purchase two portable traffic calming devices, point number one. Number two, I did speak to Professor Sifford the other day. I believe it was either Saturday or Sunday. I will be following up my phone call with her sometime this week, within the next few days. We did discuss the issue internally today. We will be discussing it again tomorrow, and then I will reach out to her and give her my point of view as far as what the process is, etc. So I will be reaching out to Ms. Professor Sifford within the next few days. And we had a good feel-good story today. We issued a proclamation to Kevin Coughlin, a student at Liberty High School who was very heroic during the storm a week ago, a week and a half ago, by going into the storm sewer and saving another young individual. And Dr. Roy and I made two presentations today, so it was kind of a feel-good story, and really a very nice young man, a wonderful family, and just one of those good stories. And finally, we'll be making an announcement this week regarding the Halloween parade. I know it's a month and a half, 2 months away, but we will be making an announcement on that within the next day or 2 days. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Donchess. Mr. Klum?
Thank you, President Reynolds. The Public Safety Committee met on Tuesday, August the 11th in Town Hall and held a virtual meeting. There were two main agenda items. The first was discussion on the Bethlehem Police Department's use of force policies and force statistics, and we reviewed several related reports. Second agenda item was discussion on the proposed community engagement initiative set out in City Council Resolution 2020-105. The meeting was solely informational. There was no legislative action taken, and Council will continue to discuss the next steps and make sure that anything coming forward in the future will be communicated to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Klum. Over 2.5 years as Council President, I'm still getting called President Reynolds, so Willie, you must have done a good job.
Mr. Waldron, President Waldron, can I make a quick comment?
Sure.
First off, I want to thank the mayor for the speed bumps on Main Street. I had sent him a video of a very loud presence of motorcycles with mufflers that do not. I think they're changing the muffler to make it sound louder. And I talked with also Councilwoman Grace Cramsey-Smith, and we will be coming forward with a noise ordinance in the future. So thank you.
Moving Moving on to ordinances for final passage, we have none on our agenda this evening. New ordinances, Ordinance 9A.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 721 of the Codified Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, titled Streets and Sidewalks. Bill 192020 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? The clerk would please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions? Resolution 7A. Resolution 10A. Thank you.
Be it resolved that the City of Bethlehem owns four parcels of land located at Mincy Trail Street and East Washington Avenue, Walters Street and East Washington Avenue, Center Street and Illick's Mill on the north side, Center Street and Illick's Mill on the south side. Be it further resolved that the City Council concludes that a showing of good cause has been made to justify employment of the alternative sale procedure and that the administration of the city is authorized to utilize the sale procedure for each of the above referenced properties owned by the city. Be it further resolved that the mayor and the controller are hereby authorized to execute an agreement for sale for real estate between the city and each of the respective abutting property owners identified in Section 8 of the resolution on such additional conditions as the administration may deem appropriate. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, could please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved that the city owns a parcel of land located at 1852 West Market Street, which is triangular in shape and can be found where West Broad and West Market Street intersect. Be it further resolved that the City Council concludes that a showing of good cause has been made to justify employment of the alternative sale procedure and that the administration is authorized to utilize the alternative procedure for sale of the above referenced parcel. Be it further resolved that the mayor and the controller are authorized to execute an agreement of sale for real estate between the City of Bethlehem and each of the respecting abutting property owners identified in Section 8 of the resolution on such additional terms and conditions as the administration may deem appropriate. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan? Mr. Callahan?
Yep, baby. Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the mayor and the controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the city solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Van Cleef Engineering Associates, Inc. for Mincy Trail Sanitary Sewer Siphon Access Improvement Work.
Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 404 Center Street to replace an existing wood fence with an Aztec solid composite material. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Certificate of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature and Bethlehem Ordinance is hereby granted for 564 Main Street to install a temporary pergola-type structure on top of the existing trash corral. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New business. I would announce that on Thursday, August 27th at 6 p.m., City Council will be meeting as a committee of the whole for council ethics training, which is required for every 2 years based on our own city ordinance that was passed. We lasted a training a bit over 2 years ago. We were delayed in scheduling this one because of COVID, and this meeting will be taking place virtually, hosted by the PA Ethics Commission, and we will be interacting with them through GoToMeeting in a similar format to our typical meetings. It'll be the opportunity for members of the public to view as well as make public comment. And that is Thursday, August 27th at 6 p.m.
Mr. President.
Yes?
I've asked all the department heads to participate too.
Thank you, Mr. Donchess. So all the department heads will be joining us at the request of the mayor, as well as open to any members of the public or anyone else on a board or commission or authority within the city who would like to join and take in that information. Mr. Reynolds, do you have an announcement?
Yes, there will be a finance committee meeting on Tuesday, August 25th, 2020 at 6 p.m. in Town Hall, and the agenda item is budget adjustments. Thank you.
Any other new business from members of council this evening? Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Thank you. I just wanted to say thank you to the mayor and the administration for purchasing the speed calming devices. I have been downtown several times trying to support the restaurants, and between downtown and even throughout the whole city, the noise issue is becoming much more of an issue than it has been in the past, I believe. I'm getting a lot of complaints from a lot of citizens as well as business owners. It's a combination of cars driving fast with mufflers that are not working very well, motorcycles. I was down, and on Saturday there were probably 100, if not 200 motorcycles that went down Main Street, which caused a real commotion. So I did speak to the mayor about a noise ordinance. I wasn't sure if we have one or not, but there is one. I think it's great that we're buying the speed calming devices, but I think it would be good if we can look at our noise ordinance and see if we need to make any revisions or adjustments, or is it a matter of greater enforcement, because I'm really getting a lot of complaints from people throughout the city about the noise, especially after 9 o'clock. And, I'm experiencing it myself. So I just wanted to say thank you to the mayor for doing that. And the only other thing I want to do is I just want to acknowledge that today is the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, which gave women the right to vote. And so kudos to all the females in Bethlehem who do vote, and I encourage everyone to exercise your right to vote. And kudos to my fellow female councilwoman for working to make the city a better place politically. That's it. Thank you.
Mr. Callahan?
Mr. Walsh, I have to make a quick comment also.
Go ahead.
I want to thank Councilwoman Cramsey Smith also for the conversation we had about the noise, and we will also be bringing forth to council in the next couple weeks a noise ordinance. And I would also like to ask that we also, I would like to move the wage equity ordinance that I had that was moved from full council to my committee. I'd like to move it back to full council, and I'd like to put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Mr. Understood. Thank you, Mr. Callahan. I understand the process to do that would be much like a communication, so that can be listed on the next council agenda as an ordinance for first reading. It will require, pardon me, a resolution. Sorry, thank you.
Thank you.
It will require a motion and a second for discussion, and then we'll have the opportunity to discuss and vote on it. Is there any other new business from members of council? Mr. Colon and then Ms. Negron.
Thank you, President Waldron. In relation to the call we got earlier regarding Southside Little League, I was texted the photos. I'll forward them to the clerk's office to email out to everyone for reference. And I'll just say, I remember back when we had a director of Parks and Recreation, I know he had, Mr. Park, when he was in that role, had showed some attention to that Little League after he had found out that there was no students from South Bethlehem on either baseball team for Liberty or Freedom. So they had done a project, I mean, this predates my time on council, to kind of renovate and clean that up a little bit. But as Mr. Ortiz had stated in his comments, that field has had issues as long as I can remember, you know, playing that with the flooding next to the creek. So I don't know what the solution is today. I hope it's something that we could keep looking at and seeing how we can, you know, support the Little League or give them adequate playing space, because this is just an issue that keeps coming up. So again, after tonight's meeting, I'll forward the photos to the clerk to distribute to council for reference. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Guam. Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I do too want to speak on the Southside Little League. I recall every time, like Mr. Ortiz mentioned, every time there's a rain, there's flooding. And I know the city has spent a lot of money trying to put the floods to stop the creek from overflowing the fields. And but it's just there's nothing else that can be done. And you know, I've seen and I've been in there so many times and seen that they have worked through, you know, drywalls and, you know, walls. And I mean, it's every time there rains, that place is a disaster. And I agree with Mr. Roy that Ortiz that we just need to move. We just need to move them. You know, and I find it I don't even have words to say to insinuate that they should get together with Fountain Hill. Like you said, it's, you know, it's not even in our municipality. Why do we want to do that? The group has been in there for years. They just need to be moved, and there's plenty of space in the upper field. I think that it's time. You know, we had last night was the meeting with the NAACP task force, and Dr. Roy did a very eloquent presentation that it was all related to education, but the bottom line is it is always the problem that the lower income community, the black and brown people are always left behind, and you know, they're not, the attention is not there. And that is wrong, and it's about time to right the wrong. And this is one wrong that needs to be fixed. And you know, no more money spending. I mean, how much money have the city spent in trying to fix, to mitigate the problem in the Southside Little League space? And you know, I mean, it's not the city's fault that the, you know, it keeps on flooding. But we need to just move them from there. It is only fair. There's plenty of space in the baseball fields. They use them, you know, and a small space for the concession stand could be created in there. So instead of spending more money fixing something that is going to go through the same trouble, like Councilman Colon mentioned and Mr. Ortiz, let's just move them. It's only fair. It's the right thing to do. I know it's going to cost money, but fixing it all over again is going to continue to be doing the same. It's like putting a Band-Aid. So it's time to do it right. Let's find the appropriate money. They need to be moved to the higher ground so there's no more flooding and they can play without worrying about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Negron. Mr. Reynolds?
Just two things quickly. One is just to echo the comments. Obviously, Southside Little League has been a problem. Those fields have been a problem for a long time. I remember before I got into council, they had a problem with geese and all sorts of different things. And I do think that one of the hesitations in the past has been how often those fields, which are above on the hill a little bit higher up there on the other side on William Street, those three city fields, how often they've been used by the various softball leagues and things like that. But those fields are in great shape. So I think that one of the questions would just be to start is, like, are any of those fields being used by Southside Little League? And I don't know how many teams they have, or it might be a situation where even if, you know, one of the fields or some of the area down below that's currently used is used in the future because maybe it's in better shape or there's less flooding there. I absolutely think that the most natural place is to use those the softened fields that are further up there on William Street that's on the south side. There's no other, I don't really think there's a lot of other place by which to, that is even located on the south side that we would be able to find space. So I would hope that that would be able to be done as well. My other question, it's more of a comment, and it's just to the mayor and administration. And, you know, I had a couple of people had reached out to me about the public comment portion of the CALEA accreditation, which was, I believe, I know it had been in the newspaper over the weekend, but I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and it was simply like a two-hour period by which people were able to call in. I don't think the city doesn't come up with that. It's not, you know, it's, I think it's probably people that necessarily do the accreditation. And I did see something that was put out by the police department earlier about if people wanted to submit written comments, that there was an email address and things like that. And I think that's good. I would encourage us to try to keep open that comment period as long as possible for people, no matter what their feelings are on the police department. We had that meeting last Tuesday that went 6 hours, and I think if we had done the meeting differently, and Mr. Cologne, we had a great meeting, but for the purpose of how many people wanted to speak, I guarantee you that there would be more than 2 hours of people calling in to be able to want to speak on their feelings about this on all sides of this issue. So I would encourage us as a city to, you know, extend that time period as long as we can. I don't know exactly how these things work, if there's a formula, whoever is doing it, but, and like I said, I don't necessarily think we were the ones that came up with it, but I think it's important that we make sure that we keep open that comment period as long as possible. And I can guarantee you that there weren't as many comments probably submitted just basically because there wasn't the same amount of enthusiasm on all sides for the conversation that we had last week. So I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned that, is that I think we need to make sure that we allow people to speak during that process and give them more opportunities to weigh in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Dr. Van Wert?
Hi, I just wanted to echo what Mr. Reynolds just said. I had read on some social media sites from citizens who were having trouble getting through to the CALEA line, and they just got a answering machine that said, "Hi, this is so-and-so's name. I'm not here right now. Please leave a message." This was during this very short two-hour phone-in period, which I felt to begin with was really not enough time for to allow every one of our citizens, some who work during that time period and can't get to a phone, to be able to call in. And I actually was able to call in and get through to her about 5 minutes before the window closed, and I asked her, you know, why there was such an answering machine and what happened. She said, well, there were supposed to be two of us, but the other one had an appointment, so she couldn't make it. And I just, and you know, if you think that the maximum commentary period during this process, and I, again, I don't know who arranged all this, but was 10 minutes, that potentially could have been a total of 12 callers for that two-hour period for a city of 78,000. And I just felt that it was not reflective of a real opportunity for discourse and hearing what our citizens had to say. So that was more of a comment that I had about the process in general. And then I'm not sure, is Chief here tonight?
He is not.
Well, Mayor, perhaps you could take this back to him. I read that there's a public hearing coming up on September 1st, and the chief put out a notice, and one of the places he put it out was on social media, of a public hearing on September 1st to discuss the proposed use of funds received under the 2020 Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistance Grant. There's a public hearing. This has been, our citizens can come forward and talk about what this grant is going to be used for, but the notice doesn't say how much is it, what is the time frame for when it needs to be used, and what is the police department proposing to use it for. And I think in order to have meaningful dialogue with our citizens and have input from our citizens on how these types of monies are appropriated, it's important to have that information put out there prior to the public meeting so that they can actually know what is the police department, you know, using this money for. I know maybe in the past there hasn't been as much scrutiny on these decisions, but there is now. And I would ask that the chief put that information out now, way before the public meeting, so that our citizens know what the grant's all about, where did it come from, what's its traditional use and purpose, and what is the police department proposing to use it for now. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Mr. Callahan, did you have new business this evening?
I did, thank you. I'm all for providing more money for training for the police department, but I would ask Dr. Van Wert, are you for defunding the police department?
Mr. Callahan, we've gone over this a few times where we're, according to Robert's rules, it's supposed to address the chair and not ask questions to members of council.
I was operating under the rule of Solicitor Spurk that we were allowed to ask each other questions in small situations as this.
And you can ask the question. I don't believe that Dr. Van Wert has the intention to answer it and get into a dialogue back and forth with you.
I'm not asking for a dialogue. I'm just asking her a question, a simple question. Are you for defunding the police department?
I don't think that Dr.
Mr. Waldron, I am allowed, according to council rules, according to Mr. Spurk, to ask questions, and we are allowed to ask each other questions. I'm asking Councilwoman Dr. Van Wert, are you for defunding the police department?
Dr. Van Wert is not unmuted her microphone, so by that indication, I don't believe she intends to answer your question.
Well, I would assume that Dr. Van Wert's question is answered because she refused to answer. Thank you.
No, that is not the case. She did not answer your question.
Correct. And as I'm saying, because I'm allowed under council rules to ask a question according to Solicitor Spurk. And so I'm asking her, Ms. President Waldron, I am allowed to ask a question according to Solicitor Spurk, our solicitor. And I'm asking her a plain and simple question. Are you for defunding the police department?
The question has been asked. Dr. Van Wert has not answered it.
I appreciate the opportunity, and Dr. Van Wert, I appreciate your opportunity to not answer the question. Thank you.
Any other new business for members of council? Circling back around on the Police Department CLIA accreditation, I was one of the members of the public that was scheduled through Captain Cott that the accreditors would reach out to as president of council. So I had a time scheduled and a phone call today and talked for more than 10 minutes about my views on the police department and what the policies are within the department and how I felt about those. So I did have an opportunity to have a discussion with one of the interviewers. And I did talk to the chief this afternoon as well because there was some feedback similar to what Mr. Reynolds and Dr. Van Wert had talked about, where not enough people who wanted to make comment were able to do so. And the chief told me that he had heard 28 people were able to make comment through that phone period of 2 hours. So clearly not everybody spoke for the 10-minute time frame that was allotted. Similarly, some people went over that 10-minute time limit, and that was the problem where things got backed up. The city and the police department are not part of scheduling the time frame or the amount of opportunity for people to call in. That's up to the CLIA accreditation group, and I was also told that if anyone wanted to make comment, they could do so through email, and I think that that's a great opportunity for as many people who want to make comment to the a CLIA accreditation group to let them know their feelings on the Bethlehem Police Department. So you can find that information on that she told me on the Bethlehem Police Department Facebook page. There's a link there to an email to make comments there. And if you're not able to find that, I'm sure that you could reach out to the city clerk's office and we can get that information and forward that to anyone who wants to make comment as well. Is there any other new business for members of council? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.